Good morning. I'd like to start out by thanking the elders for the opportunity to preach before you this morning. It's been a while since I've done an actual sermon instead of an invitation. I do enjoy doing it, though, although I don't feel I'm the best at it, because it's a challenge in preparing. For those of you that are visiting, I am not the regular preacher here. Heath Rogers is. So if you don't like what I say this morning or how it's presented, please come back again and hear him preach, and maybe you'll be more willing to come back. My lesson title today is, Who Would You Have Believed? I'm not really going to go into a lot of details about what that means yet, because I want you to hear more of my sermon and see why I titled the lesson that. But in my sermon this morning, I'm going to describe to you five individuals, but I'm not going to tell you who they are. And later on in the lesson, I will, but I want you to see if you know who they are while I'm explaining them to you. All five of these individuals are in the Bible. And if you have studied over the years the scripture, you may already know who they are based on my description. So keep that in mind as we go through the lesson today. Also, please excuse my allergies. We just came back from Florida, and every time I come back to the state of Ohio, I have issues. So if I clear my throat a lot, I apologize. All right, moving on to individual number one. One day, a strange young man shows up in town. He's very ragged-looking, having apparently walked a great distance to get here. He looks like he has lived in the wilderness most of his life. His clothes are torn and ragged and look more like animal skins than real clothes. His skin is reddened from exposure to the sun. His eyes are all squinted all the time from the lack of shade. With his long hair and scraggly beard, he looks like some kind of nature-loving hippie, and he gets earth-friendly, all-natural foods only. So this guy shows up near town, and you see him on the street corner one day. He tells people to come out into the desert to hear him preach. He's proclaiming some strange new religious doctrine. He says the end of the world is near and tells everyone that they must participate in ritual cleansings or they will die. His message, you will go to hell if you don't change your ways. And he wants people to do these ritual cleansings in the filthiest water in the area, as if dirty water is going to make anyone clean. For some strange reason that you cannot comprehend, people follow this man and listen to him. They are all really poor with nothing better to do. So you conclude that he's probably just another religious fanatic trying to make a fast buck. Knowing only this about this man, what do you think of him? Would you listen to him? Would you follow him? Would you believe his teachings? Or will his ragged appearance and strange teachings make you avoid him? If you don't know who he is, I'll tell you later, after we consider four other men. Individual number two. One day while you're assembled with your fellow believers in your religious service, you see a new young man in the group. You've never seen him before, but he is average looking. In the middle of service, he walks up to the front of the room, dismisses the preacher, picks up the holy book, and begins to read it aloud, basically taking control of the worship service. He is a good reader, but he says some things that are controversial. After service, you see him leave with his parents, a couple of poor-looking blue-collar workers. You ask him a few questions and find out whose son he is, and you know the family, and they're no one special. You ask a few more questions and hear a rumor that the young man was conceived out of wedlock. You also find out that, as a child, he got separated from his parents and was missing for a few days in a huge city, and who knows what kind of trouble he might have gotten into. A few days later, you attend a party and you see this young man there. He is passing out wine to everyone. Later you hear that he is friends with several government agents and spends time with prostitutes, drunkards, and criminals. He's not married, but you hear that he likes to be surrounded by children. He has a small cult-like following. His message, you will go to hell if you don't change your ways. One day he says that the most important building in town is going to be destroyed, but that he will rebuild it all by himself a few days later. And to make things worse, he says that all of our leaders are liars and hypocrites. You conclude that anyone who spends time with all the wrong people and makes such strange claims is probably just another weirdo trying to build a following. Would you follow this man? Would you believe his teachings? Or will his questionable behavior make you steer clear of him? If you don't know who this is, I will tell you later. Individual 3. The next man also doesn't have an education, but is more of a country boy. He is known for having a short temper and acting without thinking first. On one occasion, he cut another man with a knife, with the police standing right there in front of him. Shortly after that, he lied about knowing his best friend who got arrested to save his own skin. But once, when the law finally caught up with him and arrested him, he escaped from jail and is now a refugee on the run from the police. He always seems to be at the corner of every controversy. He claims to have seen angels. To top it all off, he's a fisherman, and we all know the tall tales they tell. In spite of his frequent run-ins with the law, people still listen to this man preach. His message, you will go to hell if you don't change your ways. You conclude that he's a criminal and a troublemaker. Would you follow this man? Would you believe his teachings? If you don't know who it is, you'll find out shortly. Individual number 4. The fourth man seems to be have a promising background, but a somewhat questionable adult life. He was born to a respected family. As a youth, he attended all the right schools. As a young adult, the local leaders entrusted him with significant authority, but then things got weird. Maybe all that power and success went to his head. On one occasion, he did nothing to intervene when another young man was murdered. He just stood there and watched. Then he went around the country kidnapping people who didn't agree with him. And then, against all comprehension, he switched sides and began to support the very people he had been kidnapping and became one of their most vocal leaders. As a result of changing sides, he got into a lot of trouble with the law. He was arrested several times, chased out of cities, and stoned. Seems like everywhere he went, he made people mad. Even the governor said he had lost his mind. His message, you will go to hell if you don't change your ways. Whereas the last guy claimed to have seen angels, this guy claims that he has seen dead people. Would you follow this man? Would you believe his teachings? Or does his reputation scare you? If you don't know who he is, I have one more to go, and then you'll find out. Individual number 5. The fifth man is really spectacular. He wears very fine clothes and has a PhD. He's always upbeat and encouraging. Thousands and thousands of people love him and buy his books. He has a beautiful wife and well-dressed children. He preaches for the biggest churches in the area. He tells people to let go of their inhibitions and enjoy all the pleasures of life that God has provided. He always has a joke or story to tell to make people feel good about themselves. He never condemns anything people do. He just wants us all to be happy in life. Instead of being controversial and divisive like the other 4 guys, this guy is a real uniter. He brings everyone together and says it's okay to believe whatever you want to believe. His ministry brings in huge amounts of money that he says is used to help the poor and spread the gospel. He even has guest appearances on other talk shows because he's so famous and loved. Would you follow this man? Would you believe his teachings? If you don't know who it is, you'll find out here shortly. So which of these men would you follow? How many of you chose the last individual? Why did you choose him? Was it based on appearances only? We get wrapped up in the world based on appearances, on who we will and won't listen to and take care of. And this lesson is centered around that. In John chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." So, was your decision based on the message or on the appearance? So let's describe each of these individuals. Individual number one. The first ragged-looking fellow who looks like a hippie that's been living on the side of the road and tells people to jump into the dirtiest river around. Who is it? John the Baptist. The scripture suggests that he was a Nazarite from birth, so he never cut his hair. According to Luke 1, verse 80, he lived in the desert. Over in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4, gives a description of him. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Not the typical person you probably would follow. Of that same chapter in verses 1 through 3 and 5 and 6, he told people to repent and to be baptized because the kingdom of God was at hand. He baptized people in the Jordan River, and we know throughout the Bible that was considered the dirtiest river to ever be washed in. Verse 3 quotes from the prophet Isaiah stating that John would prepare the way of the Lord. And then in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 11, Luke records a conversation between the angel Gabriel and Zacharias, John's father, while he was in the temple and announces John's birth and how he would prepare God's people prepare God's children for the Lord. I'd like to read starting in verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord God, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a people prepared for the Lord." We know from the scripture that John did prepare the way for the Lord. And based on what you now know about John, would you follow him? Are you going to judge him by the clothes he wears or by the message he preaches? If you lived in the first century, would you have believed John the Baptist? Or would you have sided with the Jewish scribes and priests against him? Individual number two. The second man, the one who interrupts worship services and spends his time in the company of prostitutes, criminals, and children. Who was it? Jesus. His real father was not Joseph, but the God of heaven. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit before his mother was married. In Luke 1, again, Luke records the conversation between the angel Gabriel and Mary, this time announcing Jesus' birth and how he would be conceived. I'd like to read chapter 1, starting in verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no ends. What a description about Jesus. We also find when he was 12 years old, he stayed behind in the temple in Jerusalem for 3 days. When his parents returned to their home and amazed scholars by his knowledge of the scripture. We find that in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus entered the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath day, opened the scriptures to the book of Isaiah, read it aloud, and told the people the scripture was fulfilled. I can't imagine how shocked the people were that heard that day. Jesus turned water to wine at a wedding feast. He said the kingdom of God belonged to those who were converted and became innocent like little children. He associated with the lowly, the poor, the sick, the downtrodden, and with all sinners. And we see that in Matthew chapter 9 and 11. He did not associate with the hypocritical leaders of the day who neglected the fundamental matters of the law of Moses in favor of their traditions. He said that the temple indeed would be destroyed, and he said that if the temple of his body was killed, he would raise it from the dead in 3 days. And no one preached about hell more than Jesus. If you lived in the first century, would you have believed Jesus? Or would you have sided with the priests and rulers against him? Are you going to judge him by his company he keeps or the message he preaches? Individual number 3. The third man, the short-tempered country boy who abandons his friends, runs from the police, and stirs up riots. Who do you think it is? Apostle Peter. He was uneducated, according to Acts 4, verse 13. But he had great courage when speaking before the Sanhedrin after his and John's arrest when questioned by what power he had healed a lame man. I'd actually like to read that count in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be made known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Can you imagine the reaction that the Sanhedrin had when he came and gave that testimony? Some of the more negative things that we know about him: he denied Jesus 3 times in John chapter 18. And he spent time in prison because he was released by an angel and was let out of jail in Acts 12. He told people to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. If you lived in the first century, would you have believed his preaching? Or would you have avoided such a troublemaker? Are you going to judge him by the laws of men or by the message he preaches? The fourth individual, the fourth man, the one who lost his mind and claimed to see dead people, who do you think that is? Apostle Paul. He started off as the archenemy of the church as a young man, and Paul admits this in his letter to Galatians in chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." He held the coats of the men who stoned Stephen to death. He then received authority from the priests to arrest Christians and drag them to Jerusalem for trial for heresy in Acts chapter 9. He later had a vision from Jesus on the road to Damascus, which sparked his conversion and his new purpose in life for Christ. Luke records Paul's remembrance of this conversion in Acts chapter 26. If you turn there. Acts 26, starting in verse 12. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the earth, ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have prepared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We also know that he went around telling people Jesus who had died had been resurrected. Acts 9 verses 3 through 6 and chapter 13 verse 30. Based on knowing his history and the things he did to the church before he became a Christian, would you follow him? Would you judge him by his run-ins with the law or by the message he preached? If you lived in the first century, would you have believed the Apostle Paul? Or would you have sided with the Roman Empire to have him arrested and killed? Individual number five. This one may be tricky, but may not be. The fifth man, the one who preaches the message everyone wants to hear, the one who has the big following and raises so much money. You probably thought it was the big preachers of today out in the world. It's actually the devil. We can see the devil's deception all the way back to the book of Genesis when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve to eat of the tree they were commanded not to. We know that Satan uses many forms and many ways to try to lead people away. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know he tempted Jesus, but Jesus resisted and the devil failed. The devil puts on a good show and tells people just what they want to hear. The devil doesn't want anyone to change or repent. He wants us to keep doing the same sinful things and don't worry about the consequences or the afterlife. The majority of the world believes the devil's gospel of compromise and pleasure, and they unite under his banner of apathy and ignorance. And then, is this the guy you said a moment ago you would believe? Are you going to follow the guy who tickles your ears and leads you away from God? Are you going to follow the crowds in pursuit of false hope? Are you going to be deceived by his appearance and smooth speech and by the accolades lauded upon him by our worldly society? So the point of all this is just one question. What are we looking for? What are we looking for in religion, in the church, in a message, and even in a preacher? If these guys submitted their resumes to work as the evangelists for our church here, which one would you have hired? If you lived in the first century, which one of these guys would you have listened to? Obviously, appearances are deceitful. It doesn't matter that John the Baptist came out of the desert, or that Jesus associated with the meek and lowly, upon whom he had compassion, or that Peter learned the hard way about being impulsive, or that Paul had so many encounters with both Jews and Romans, and the troubles he had. What matters is the gospel message they preached. What matters is the example they demonstrated in morality, devotion to the truth, and self-sacrifice. It also doesn't matter the devil's churches attract so many more people. The actual root of the problem is the message that he preaches. The life you live today answers this question. If you live a life of service to God, like John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter, Paul, then you made your choice to follow them. Keep it up, because that's the choice you should be making. If you live your life in service to your own desires, following the advice of the devil, then you made your choice to follow him. If that has been your choice in your life to this point, it's not too late to change your mind. If you would change your mind today and change your behavior and follow in the footsteps of Jesus, you can be saved in eternity. In closing this morning, there may be some here this morning who have not obeyed the gospel. Would you not be willing to give up that life of sin and follow after Jesus, the person that we should be following? Would you not be willing to start your life as a new man in Christ? We learn from the Bible that we must first believe, and then we must repent of our sins and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and be buried in baptism for the remission of sins. Peter instructs the first century church in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Would you not be baptized today and put on Christ as your Lord and Savior? And for those that have already obeyed the gospel, that may have fallen away, that may have been distracted by the wrong person, may have been distracted by Satan, you still have opportunity to come back to Jesus and repent of your sins. Would you not make the correction today in your life and stand right in the sight of God? Whatever your need may be this morning, we stand here willing and able to help you in that. If you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.